You to find your place with me in the Psalms 100. Brother Chris told me earlier, he said, man, you're under a lot of pressure this morning. You've got two preachers here, and you've got Brother Charlie here especially, and so there's a lot of pressure on you to preach well this morning. And listen, that's not the most pressure. The most pressure is the fact that I have Gideon and Judah here. They've been listening to their daddy preach. And lastly, and so now I've got to measure up to Dad, you know. So they're going to be judging me this morning. So I've got to keep them awake today. So anyway, hey, Psalms 100. I was sharing the other day when I was turning in my stuff to Jeannie so we could put things on the PowerPoint and that sort of thing. And Mike and Patty were in there. And Patty said, oh, I remember Psalms 100. That was one of the first psalms that we had to memorize as a child. I said, absolutely, I remember that. I remember distinctly memorizing Psalms 100 as a child, that being a focal verse. Psalms 100 is considered the Thanksgiving Psalms. We're in this day, and many of you will be celebrating Thanksgiving this week with your families, and it'll be a special time. And it's unfortunate for us that we have kind of dedicated this one week, this one day of the year as Thanksgiving, when really every day should be Thanksgiving. I mean, we ought to wake up every day grateful to God for the day that He's given us, right? We say that today is the present, right? We're in the present. It's a gift of God. And we ought to be thankful for that gift that God gives us every day. Now, back in October 1789, George Washington, our first president, declared this Thanksgiving. That as a nation, we ought to stand and give thanks to God for our founding and for all of His provisions and all of His goodness. And so it's a national holiday, but more than a national holiday, it's really about our relationship with God and being grateful to God for all that He gives us. And so here in Psalms 100, the scripture says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the lands. Man, isn't that a great verse? Hey, listen, he says, make a joyful shout. Woo! Amen? I'm telling you, man, we ought to get excited about what God has done for us. Man, sometimes it's just overwhelming when I stop to think of the goodness and the grace and the glory of God that He allows us to be able to share and enjoy. But He says here, to make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. To shout to the Lord. To enter into His gates with thanksgiving. It gives us this imagery of the gates of Zion, the gates of Jerusalem, Jesus being the gate of wisdom, coming into His house, coming into this place of worship, to come into His presence and acknowledge that He is God and that He is good, and that He has created us, and that our being is dependent upon Him. Someone said, it's not joy that makes us grateful, it's gratitude that makes us joyful. You can't get joyful enough to be grateful. You can only be grateful enough to get joyful. And so to come into His presence with joy is first of all to come into His presence with thanksgiving. To be grateful for that. And so the psalmist here kind of breaks it down. First of all, he says that we ought to be thankful that He is God. To be thankful for His being. It reminds me of the little girl who was praying, and she said, God, thank you for being God. Amen. That's a mouthful. Think about that. There's some deep theology there. Just to acknowledge his being, that he is God, that he is the one who's created us. We say this, that God is the supreme being, and we say that we are human beings. And we think that the difference is just in this supreme and this human. Now listen, the real difference is in our being. The fact is that God is God. He is self-sufficient God. Do you realize this morning that without you, God would still be God? Think about that this morning. God doesn't need you to be who he is. He is an eternal, self-sufficient God. Everything that he needs to be God, he has within himself. He doesn't need subjects to praise him. He doesn't need subjects to serve him. He's still God. You know, in our realm of life, we think to be a king, you got to have a kingdom, right? To be a king, you've got to have servants. To be a king, you've got to be ruler of something, right? He's God even before there was ever anything to be God over. He was still God. To think this morning and to try to wrap our minds around the fact that he is God. We have to avoid any suggestion that God is a being like other beings, only perfect. It's not that. It's the fact that he really is God. So, to think that his being, that he alone is of himself, it reminds us of how majestic God is. He says in Psalms 39 and verse 5, it says this, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly every man in his best state is but a vapor. You know, it's like taking that little teapot and putting it on the stove and that kettle, and it begins to steam and begins to whistle, and that steam is coming out, and you can see it coming out, and then it just kind of goes away, right? That's our life. Our life is like that vapor. You can see it momentarily, and then it's gone, but not with God. God always is, and God always has been, and God always will be. It says in Acts 17 and verse 28, it says, in him we live and move and have our being. Let me put it this way. Without him, we couldn't live. We couldn't move. We have no way of being who we are apart from him. But God can be himself apart from us. It really kind of defines who he is. That the Lord, he is God, the only living and true God. That he is a being infinitely perfect and self-existent and self-sufficient. And he is the fountain of all other beings. He is God. I'm trying to tell you this morning, we ought to be thankful that he is God. We can't wrap our minds around it. We can't comprehend all that he is. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. He is God, and we should be grateful. I'm reminded when he had his encounter with Moses, and he had his encounter with Abraham, and he had his encounter with Isaac. He revealed himself as being the God of all creation, the God of the universe. He says, I am who I am. That's God. He was before and he will be after. He will always be God. But not only to be thankful just for his being, but to be thankful for his blessings. It says here in verse 4, it says, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I think the original sin with Adam and Eve in the garden was not necessarily when they ate of the fruit. I think the original sin began before they took the bite. The sin took place in their minds and in their hearts. When God says, look, you can have everything in the garden, but you can't have this one tree. And they looked at everything they could have, and they looked at the one thing they couldn't have, and they said, you know what? We would rather have the one thing we can have than all that God has given us. and it was a heart of ungratefulness. You see, when we're not satisfied with all that God has blessed us with, and we want what we don't have, we become ungrateful. We're unthankful. And that's the sin. It's the ungratefulness. It's the ingratitude that we have. And so to be thankful for His blessings, to recognize all that we have. Webster defines ingratitude as forgetfulness of or poor return for of kindness received. It can also be defined as appreciating or valuing what you have or have been given. And so this unexpressed gratitude is really ingratitude. Psychologists have done studies on athletes. It's really kind of interesting. They study Olympic athletes, and they found levels of satisfaction in their accomplishments. And they found that people who win bronze medals are more excited than people who won silver medals. Think about it. The people that came in third place are happier than the people that came in second place. Why is that? They found that the people that came in second place were disappointed that they didn't come in first place. And they found that the people that came in third place were grateful that they got anything at all. Hello? They got a bronze medal. Hey, I might not have got the gold, I might not have, but thank God I got something out of all that, right? You see, sometimes in life, we're looking at what we don't have rather than saying, well, thank God I have what I have. Amen? It's that sin of ingratitude. And so the psalmist points out here that we ought to be thankful for these blessings. Look over in Romans chapter 1. Romans in the first chapter, this great letter that Paul writes, that's probably one of the greatest theological documents ever written. He talks about the wrath and the punishment of God on the unrighteous people and all the and the sinfulness of people. And it says there in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. And then he begins to kind of describe that. And notice what it says in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and His Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And then that just led from one sin to the next and then into debauchery. Listen, it all begins when we have an unthankful heart. This Thanksgiving, and we need to pause. We need to make special note of the blessings that God has poured out on us. We sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, and name them one by one. Someone said, count your blessings and be grateful, not a great fool. Hello? Count your many blessings and be grateful, not a great fool. See, it's foolish when we forget the goodness of God and all of His blessings. See, ingratitude is a crime even more despicable than revenge when it's only returning evil for evil. You see, revenge is like somebody does something wrong and then you do something wrong to them. Ungratefulness is when somebody does something good for you and you don't return it back. That's worse. It's that thought that we're ungrateful. Listen, thank God for the material blessings that He gives us, right? I mean, thank God, Charlie, that we've had, you know, all these days of warm clothes and all these days of warm beds and all these meals that we've had. Been there, brother. I understand, right? We're thankful for those things. Especially in Canada for a warm bed, right? And warm clothes, right? But it's not just those material things, but to thank God for the people that are in our lives, the individuals that hold the rope, the people that come along beside us in life. God has created us to live in community. And when we're not in community, when we're not connected to other people, man, life is unbearable. And so we thank God for the relationships and for the connections that we have in life. But also to thank God, most of all, for our salvation that we have. And the greatest blessing of all, you may not have warm clothes. You may not have a warm bed. You may not have something to eat. But friend, let me tell you, there's something this morning that you can have, and that's salvation in Christ Jesus that no one can ever take from you. Moth can't eat and destroy. Rust can't destroy. Thieves can't break in and steal. And we thank God for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it is God who works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. Thank God for His presence in our life. The fact that God comes along beside us and walks with us daily and is there with us through the difficult times of life to encourage us and lift us up. Thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the helper and the one who is there with us. The one who intercedes on behalf of our cries and our groans when we can't even utter things, when we can't even put it into words, that the Holy Spirit is there to pray for us and to intercede for us. Man, we have so much to be thankful for this morning, the blessings of God. Amen? Thankful for His goodness. He says in verse 5 here, he says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. You see, that word for, it points to the reason that we can be thankful. We can be thankful that He is a good God, that God is good at all times. Listen, God's eternal mercy and God's eternal truth is the fact that God is good. Even before there was a good or a bad, God was good. Now, I have to do something good to be labeled good, right? And that's our struggle. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one, right? When you call somebody tomorrow and say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. No, you're not. The Bible says none are good. No, not one. Right? And it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much good you do. Man, we're prone to not be good. Right? We mess up. Here's the thing with God. Here's what's cool about God. This is why we can be so thankful to God. God's good. Even when He doesn't do anything. You see, if God never answered another prayer, if God never performed another miracle, if God never did another good act, guess what? God would still be good. God's not defined as good because of what He's done. God's defined as good because of just who He is. It's who God is. He is a good God. We teach our children to pray, God is good, God is great. Right? Well, guess what? Being good is better than being great. You think so, preacher? Absolutely. I know a lot of people have done great things, but they're not good people. I know people that are in sports that have accomplished great things, but they're not good people. I know people that have led great businesses. I know people who have great wealth, but they're not good people. Listen, God is good. God is good. God is very good. God is real good. He is the good shepherd. Amen? And because He's the good shepherd, we can be grateful and we can say thanks to God. God is good means that God always acts in accordance to what is right and true and good. So this goodness is part of God's nature, and He cannot, will not ever contradict His own nature. So when you pray and you seek God's will and you seek God's direction, then you can always know that God's going to do what? Good. He's always going to do good. He's never going to disappoint. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, Moses says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, O glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? There's no other God like God. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 21 says, He is your praise and He is your God. He has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. All that God is and all that God does, He does so that we can see His goodness, is glorious. The Lord does good. He's the good shepherd. He's the good Samaritan. He's the good spirit. He's the good God. He's the one that we can be thankful for this morning. And he's good forever. It says here in this passage that his mercy endures forever. Forever, forever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. Come on now. And ever, and ever, and ever. I don't know how long that is, but it's forever. Amen? Praise God. His goodness never runs out. Amen? You see, that's where you and I have limits. We can be good for a while, but man, there comes a point in time where our goodness wears out, right? But praise God this morning that his goodness and his mercy is forever and ever and ever. I'm not going to sing it to you this morning, but I'm going to read it to you. C.C. Winans has a song. It's entitled, "The Goodness of God." I'm telling you, if you've never worshiped, man, you get in the car, you crank it up loud, and you pull over on the side of the road because you're not going to be able to drive. And man, you just worship God. "I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because all my life, you've been faithful. And all my life, you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, you've been so, so good." You remember years ago, Campbell's Soup? They had a commercial. Campbell's Soup was what? Good. You know what that stood for? It was so, so good. There were no words that could explain. Listen, you're not hearing me this morning. You're not listening. Lord, give them ears to hear. I'm telling you this morning, our God has been good. Man. Amen. I'm telling you, he is so, so good. Words can't describe. All my life, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. Father God, this morning, God, this morning, we fall before you. God, this morning, we come into your gates with thanksgiving. God, we give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor today, God. God, thank you for being God this morning. God, we're in a world, God, that's full of rulers. God, we're in a world full of leaders. And God, they've ruled and they've led us into a mess. And what we need this morning is we need the God of the universe. We need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rain down on us today. So God, today we thank you for being God. And we need you to be God today in our lives. God, this morning we stand, God, as the recipients of your blessings. God, that you have poured out on us freely. God, not because we've merited it, not because we've earned it, God, not because we've deserved it, but God, because you love us. God, today we're grateful for the goodness of God. God, you have been so, so good. And Father, I confess this morning in my own heart and in my own life, God, I've been so, so ungrateful. God, I ask you today, God, to help make me more grateful. God, to sense and understand, God, just how good you are. And God, how good you've been. And God, may you receive my praise. So Father God, today, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. And we honor you today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. This morning, God invites you to taste his goodness. The Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." For years, my wife tried to get me to go eat certain foods with her, certain restaurants. Don't like that. Not going there. One day my boss came in town. I said, "Where you want to go eat?" He said, "Let's go over here to this particular restaurant." My mind and my heart says, "I don't want to." My pocketbook and my family said, "You need to. You want a job, right?" And so I went and I ate and I enjoyed it. It was good. And I came home and I told my wife, I said, "Rhonda, guess where we ate?" She said, "Where?" And I told her. I said, "And it was good." She said, "Oh, you would try it for your boss, but you wouldn't try it for me." I found out what I thought I didn't want was actually what I really liked. Listen again to me this morning. God, give them ears to hear. Some of you this morning, God wants you to taste and see how good he is. Some of you are saying, "Nah, I'd rather have this stuff over here. Man, I'd rather fame and fortune of the world. I'd rather the riches of Egypt rather than the riches of God." I'm telling you this morning, the things of God will taste good to you if you'll simply try this morning. If you've never tasted Christ, if you've never come to that point, place in your life where you would trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come this morning. Would you just simply come and taste his goodness this morning? You may say, "Pastor, I don't even know what that means. I don't even know how to go about that." Hey, would you just simply step out from where you're at this morning and make your way and say, "Pastor, today, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do it. All I know is this morning, I've never tasted the goodness of God. And I want to taste." Man, we've got some folks that will pray with you and walk through Scripture with you. And we'll give you a taste of the goodness of God if you'd simply come. Maybe this morning your church membership is somewhere else. Man, we'd love to have you come and be a part of our family right here at Trinity. We invite you to come this morning. Maybe you want to just come to the altar of thanks this morning and give thanks to God for his goodness. However God leads you, Mike's going to come lead us in a hymn of invitation. As God speaks, you obey this morning. As we stand and as we sing, would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? Thank God for his goodness.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him.
Would you come this morning? Don't wait. Don't see what somebody else is going to do. You respond as God leads you this morning.
Let me
He'll be faithful to keep you. He'll be faithful to take care of you. People said,
Amen.
Amen. Man, weren't you glad somebody said, hey, let's go to church this morning? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Two or three of you. All right. Hey, invite somebody to be back with you next Sunday as we begin to really get into our Christmas season. Hey, got a lot of cool things that'll be going on. Our Vicksburg High School Choir will be here on December the 3rd. That's in our 6 o'clock hour. And they'll be sharing a Christmas program with us then. That's going to be kind of a unique time. And so we want to really encourage you to come out and be a part of that. And then on December the 10th, we also have Andrew Ishii. Andrew is a piano player with the Shenandoah Group. He's also played with the King's Quartet and other groups. He's in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. He's one of the top 5 piano players in America today. He's a great entertainer, great man of God, just really incredible talent. He'll be with us December the 10th, and so you'll be want to make sure that you put that on your calendars and that you're here that night. Invite some folks to come with you. That'll be a great night as well. So we got a lot going on for the month of December. A lot of fellowship time and all that. We'll be having finger foods that night after Andrew's here and celebrating that night. That'll be kind of our church wide Christmas celebration as well. I have a special service on December the 24th. That's Christmas Eve. We'll be having a service that morning, 10 o'clock worship only, no Sunday school hour, but we'll be worshiping 10 o'clock that morning. We'll be having the Lord's Supper that morning, so it'll be a special morning as well. So we want to invite you to come and be a part of that as well. Okay? All right. I have one piece of business that I need to take care of before we leave here today. And so Wednesday night, we presented our 2024 budget, and we discussed that, answered a few questions, and so we put that to a vote for this morning without discussion. So at this time, I take a motion that we entertain that business this morning.
So moved.
So moved. Second. All right. So all those in favor of approving our 2024 budget as presented, would you signify by saying amen?
Amen.
And opposed, likewise. Thank you so much. And let me just say this. If you support the budget rather than just saying amen, give to it. Amen?
Amen.
A couple of you again. All right? You'll get more buy-in before we get out of here, okay? Now, really, seriously, thank you for the way you give. Thank you for the way you support the ministry here, Brother Charlie, their ministry. Thankful for the way that you're generous in your giving. Brother Timmy?
Brother Bill, I'd like to thank everyone that came up yesterday, decorated church. Church was beautiful this morning.
Thank
you. Y'all deserve a hand. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate those folks that came up. Our decor committee's done a great job this week, worked hard. So, hey, Brother Charlie, Les, Gideon, Judy, y'all come right up here. I want these folks to come up here. I want to give you an opportunity to come by and love on them and let them know that you're going to continue to pray for them.
Need to adjourn.
Okay, have a motion, we adjourn?
Yeah.
All right. So moved. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good deal. So I want you to come by and let them know that you're going to keep holding the rope. Okay? Let them know you're going to keep holding the rope. Amen? And we're so grateful. Man, I want you to know what a joy and a privilege it is to just know that long distance, that we can be a part of what God's doing in Canada, that we can pray for you guys, that we can minister and come along beside you guys, and just grateful for your faithfulness to go wherever, whenever, however God leads you. And so we're grateful. I want to continue to pray for you guys as well. Okay? All right. Hey, we're going to sing a song this morning.
Yes, he has made me glad.
He has made me glad. Hey, I'm pretty glad this morning. Let's sing. Amen.
He has made me glad.